This is going to be part three of our deep dive into the Durham investigation. I'm going to ask you all to make sure that you share our podcast with your family and friends. We are spending day after day doing a deep dive into the Durham report and this investigation, these indictments, because the media is not covering this on purpose because the information coming out is so damning. Now, coming up in a moment, we are going to actually talk with U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. She is one of 44 Republican senators that are demanding the Durham report actually be made public. Why? Because we need to know what's actually happening. Now, this group of 44 Republican senators has still not heard back after demanding that the report by the special counsel be made public once it is complete. This coming days after news service that it will likely be finished in the coming months. Lawmakers, led by Senator Marsha Blackburn and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, have penned a letter to the Attorney General Merrick Garland with no response, requesting an update on the status of the Durham review. Now, why is he not responding? Because he doesn't want you to see what's in the Durham report. This Durham review, dubbed the Crossfire Hurricane Investigation, and for the final report to be made public, they say, is vitally important for transparency and for the American people to see just how corrupt our government is. Quote, we ask that you provide an update on the status of the special counsel in Durham's inquiry and that the investigation's report be made available to the public upon completion, the lawmakers wrote in their letter. Now, you got 44 senators writing this letter. You'd think that Durham would respond. He still hasn't. Durham, by the way, who previously served as U.S. attorney for the District of Connecticut before becoming special counsel last year, has been reviewing the FBI's investigation into Russia's influence in the 2016 elections since 2019, when he was tasked by the Trump administration to evaluate the Bureau's probe. Durham's doing his job. We should see what all he's done. Now, Durham resigned as the U.S. attorney after Biden took office, which is routine for political appointed federal prosecutors, but he was kept on as special counsel so he could continue his probe. Now, the investigation made huge headlines, right, after the Wall Street Journal reported that not only is Durham presenting the grand jury, but they're indicting people. So why is it that the man who's in charge, Garland, is not responding to all these senators? It's part of the bigger question. Last night on Tucker Carlson, there was a very interesting conversation with Harmeet Dhillon. She appeared on Tucker Carlson to discuss this Durham investigation and certain aspects of what we're seeing now. I want you to take a listen.
Well, it's been more than 2 years since U.S. Attorney John Durham was assigned to investigate the origins of the Russia collusion hoax. His investigation has already gone on longer than the Mueller investigation. And for months, it seemed like there was nothing to show for it. Then Durham charged a Clinton campaign attorney called Michael Sussman for lying to the FBI in 2016 about the Trump campaign's ties to Russia. Sussman was indicted by a federal grand jury. What does this mean exactly? It's more interesting than it sounds. Harmeet Dhillon has the details. She's a famous civil rights attorney and a good person. She joins us now to discuss what this is. Harmeet, thanks so much for coming on. So what have we learned from this indictment?
Well, the indictment is a really interesting document, 27 pages long. And as you say, it's the first, major indictment that has been sought by John Durham after 2 years. The core of the allegation is a kind of a flimsy one. It's what they call a process crime. And namely, it's that this Clinton lawyer lied when he went to the FBI general counsel at the time, James Baker, and told him that he had this story about the Trump organization communicating with Russians at a Russian bank, the Alpha Bank, via a sort of secret node on a server, all of which was concocted as a lie. But the lie that he's being indicted for is that he allegedly told the FBI general counsel that he was volunteering this information to the FBI in a, big written report as a citizen, not on behalf of any particular campaign or candidate. Now, in real life, his law firm and he specifically worked for the Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee. He was partners with Mark Elias, the Democrat super lawyer who's out there suing every state that tries to improve election integrity. So you have to believe in this indictment that the FBI general counsel took on face value that this guy was doing this as a citizen. I think that's a real stretch. So I don't know whether this is going to end up resulting in a conviction or not. The law firm and the lawyer are denying this. And the star witness, James Baker, now works for Twitter, and he is not necessarily cooperating. He's saying he can't remember this exchange exactly. So this is all premised on some notes of another lawyer that James Baker allegedly spoke to.
I love, by the way, that he's working for Twitter now. You notice how this corruption keeps getting and breeding more corruption, right? Like the lawyer who you need your main witness, like, oh, I work for Twitter now. I'm making the big bucks. You know, we censor people for a living. I can't remember a whole lot about this. I'm real foggy, folks. I'm just foggy now. I got me a big job now, right? I did my duty. Did my job. Got rid of Trump. Now I'm at Twitter. Twitter got rid of Trump too. Isn't that ironic? I'm a big-time lawyer. I can't remember jack crap right now. Now, you connect all these dots. You notice now what we're seeing. They're going to stonewall anybody that gets indicted and just say, can't remember, can't remember, can't remember. I worked in the State Department, can't remember. Worked at the DOJ, can't remember. Worked at the FBI, can't remember. I'm James Comey, can't remember.
But what's in this indictment is super interesting, and it harkens back to what we know about the Steele dossier and about the pack of lies that the Clinton team told the world, told journalists, told, you know, law enforcement about the Steele dossier. They denied they were behind that and all of these allegations about Russia collusion. And in fact, they funded it with Fusion GPS. This law firm funded it. And in this case, they similarly have denied they had anything to do with this allegation about the Alpha Bank, when in fact, this indictment shows like every single time that they had a meeting about this with the FBI, with these tech executives and so forth, they billed for it. So the billing records are actually the paper trail. But you see some remarks in this indictment, and I...
By the way, let's just stop there to what she said, because this is huge information. So when these guys were presenting all this information to the media, having meetings with the FBI, having meetings with others, the entire time they were billing the Clinton team, the Clinton campaign, for those hours. So the idea that they were working as private citizens, no. The idea that they just like had this random stuff put in their lap, no. That didn't happen, folks. They were working on the clock and billing every single time there was a meeting. Time after time after time. We got more meetings with the FBI. Let's bill the Clinton campaign. We know that this is crap, right? We know that this is a lie. We're the ones creating the lie. We're the ones doing the lie. We're the ones pushing the lie. The only collusion in the Russian collusion case was literally the Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, the DNC, who paid for a fake story. You want to know who was trying to influence the election? It was Hillary Clinton. It was the DNC, and they knew they were lying about it. Every bit of it, they knew they were lying about it. Every single bit of it. And that's exactly what she's saying here in this interview.
I encourage your viewers to read it, that show that people involved in this conspiracy, and it was a multi-factor conspiracy involving tech executive who wanted to get a job with the Clinton White House, his companies, and others, that they were afraid that their bag of dirty tricks was going to come out. And so that's the part that's very interesting.
Not only that, did you notice what she just said? People were actually getting jobs by doing this dirty work for Hillary Clinton. It was like, hey, if we make sure Hillary Clinton gets into the White House and we put a conspiracy out there that helps her get there, then we're going to get a job at the White House. Then we can go back to the private sector and make a crap ton of money. We've clearly now seen exactly how this conspiracy to overthrow the will of the people played out in the personal interests of individuals involved. We now know that big tech executives were helping the Clinton campaign push out a narrative that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians so they could get jobs in the Clinton White House if Hillary Clinton became president. Then they knew that Donald Trump was a threat to big tech, so they decided to continue to go along with it to make sure they could get rid of Donald Trump, which is exactly why they kicked him off Twitter and they kicked him off everything out there, right, after he lost the election, because then they said, all right, he didn't have power. Now we'll silence him to make sure he didn't get power back. And we'll silence anyone else that we don't like. And the Democrats will protect us, and we know that, right? The Democrats will protect us, and that's exactly what they've done. We know that none of these big tech individuals have been held accountable. Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, talking about Hillary Clinton campaign implicated in this new Durham indictment. He asked a couple of basic questions, which I think we should all be asking right now, and they are this. And here are the questions he said each and every one of us should be asking.
Is Durham going to do more? I don't know. He should. He should question Hillary Clinton before a grand jury. He should question Joe Biden, dare I say it, before a grand jury. And of course, the head of the grand conspiracy, Barack Obama.
Now, you hear what he said there about Barack Obama. He's right. Every one of the people he just mentioned are players in this conspiracy. And we now know that from the Durham investigation. We know it. What Tom Fitton said about this at Judicial Watch, and they've done amazing work, is this is a conspiracy that implicates the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, Barack Obama for spying on a candidate, the FBI director for allowing these FISA warrants, and others who went and got these FISA warrants, and Hillary Clinton. This is bigger than Watergate. I want you to hear a little bit more of what Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch, the president, had to say.
Truth behind the worst government corruption scandal in American history, in terms of political criminality, that is the targeting of candidate Trump and then President Trump and people around him. And John Durham, the special counsel, who was essentially just a regular prosecutor looking at this, and just before he left, Attorney General Barr made him a special counsel. He finally indicted someone else. And this someone else is a big deal. It's Michael Sussman, who is a lawyer, or had been a lawyer for the law firm of Perkins Coie, and that's the firm behind the dossier. And it's also the go-to firm for the Democratic Party. So Sussman was the lawyer for Hillary Clinton's campaign, the lawyer for the Democratic Party, namely the Democratic National Committee. And he had a special meeting shortly before the election in 2016 with the general counsel of the FBI, General Counsel Baker, who in which they discussed targeting Trump. And specifically, he alleged in this meeting and gave him documentation, according to the indictment that was just issued this week by the grand jury, or returned this week by the grand jury at the request of Durham, he was behind the idea that this was Russian bank had communications, improper communications or relationships, or there was some sort of internet communication that raised questions with the Trump organization. And you may recall the media ran with that. Alpha Bank, Russian bank, and the Trump people have been connected. Well, he was indicted, Sussman was, not for lying about that specifically, but for lying about the reason he was there, because allegedly he told Baker he was there just as a citizen, just conveying information he thought the FBI should pursue. He withheld from Baker, according to the indictment, that he was there on behalf of Hillary Clinton, the Clinton campaign, Democratic National Committee, etc. So he lied about the reason and the purpose of the meeting. And when you lie to the FBI, it's a crime. That's why, you know, don't talk to the FBI unless you have a lawyer present and the lawyer advises you completely of what your rights are, even then. So he's meeting with this lawyer. First of all, let me be clear here. Let's take a step back. This meeting should never have taken place. You know, Sussman is a DOJ. He had used to work at the Department of Justice, so he knows everybody, and he gets to get into meetings like this to shop garbage like this. And what the indictment, and I encourage you to review the indictment. It's available widely online, and read it yourself. And what's interesting about it is that there's...
Let me just jump back in here. Tom Fitton, the reason why I'm playing this for you is because he's laying this out, the legal case. He just made a point that this meeting to shop this propaganda should have never even happened. And the only reason why it happens because he had the connections, and the people that he met with should have stopped the meeting from taking place because it was so far-fetched. It should have never happened. So the people in the meeting, there's no way to not make the argument. They decided to become part of the conspiracy. Okay? they decided that it's a good idea to become a part of this conspiracy. Hey, we want to overthrow the president of the United States of America. Okay, how you want to do it? I've got something I'm shopping to you, and I want you guys to use this to investigate Donald Trump. It's total crap. We made it up. Actually, I wrote it. Paid for it by the Clinton campaign and the DNC. That's just kind of how we roll now. We make up stuff. It's really good stuff we've made up. And I want you guys to investigate this. Now, anybody meeting with him would have known that this was crap from the very beginning. And in fact, we know the FBI knew it was crap in January. Like, official. It was. They knew it was total crap in January 2017, the same month Donald Trump was sworn in. And yet they actively used this information not only to spy on the president and the president-elect and his campaign and to get those FISA warrants. Okay, number one, that. Number two, they also continued to use the bad information on purpose. Why did they decide to do it on purpose? Because why not? Right? Why would you not do this on purpose? It's too good to not use. You hate Trump. You hate people around him. You got people wanting jobs in the Clinton campaign or in the Biden administration. You know, we got to get rid of Trump. For me to get my big paydays to go work for big tech, like some of these guys are now working as legal counsel at Twitter. Wonder if it's because of all their government connections. Or, hey, I mean, think about your resume. I'm so good at my job, I actually was able to get a guy impeached on bad information that I wrote and created. Pretty nice resume builder there. If someone wants to hire a hack, a political hack, an assassin, political assassin, somebody with great and grand connections. Fitton's right. This meeting should have never happened, ever. But it did. It happened because he had the connections, and the people in the government he had the connections with were more than happy to help spread lies and propaganda, overthrow the will of the people.
You know, the one charge really about making a false, making the false statement. But there are two dozen pages describing an illicit conspiracy targeting Donald Trump. They all knew that there was no there when it came to the allegation that the Russian bank had a connection to the Trump organization through these internet connections that they were pretending were happening. They said it was a red herring. In fact, it turned out there was nothing. The FBI figured it out rather quickly. And they knew that going in. And in fact, there's email communications detailed in the indictment showing that they were discussing how to make the document they were going to give the general counsel of the FBI plausible on its face, so that at least initially someone could say, oh, there's something here, even though they all knew that in essence it was a hoax. And the indictment lays out how the Clinton campaign colluded on this, how Fusion GPS colluded on this. It looks like Hillary's other lawyer colluded on this. So the question is this going to be the last gasp of Durham or the beginning of something more by Durham? I don't know the answer to that. It would be a seemingly unusual to me to have all that material about what looks to be other criminal activity that isn't charged here and just leave it there for no future action.
There should be future action. Joining me to talk about what future action should take place is a United States senator that's leading on this issue. Senator Blackburn, I appreciate you coming on today to talk about, obviously, this very important Durham report. Senator, I want to start with this. We have seen the media actually criticizing Joe Biden over the last few days on the economy, on the border crisis, on other issues, specifically at CNN, just to make sure, I think, that they don't get indicted for what they did as part of this grand conspiracy to, I say, overthrow the will of the people in the election. We now know from the Durham report or the Durham investigation that the FBI knew in January of 2017, the same month Donald Trump was sworn in, that this entire Russian collusion investigation was total crap, paid for and written by the DNC and the Clinton campaign, and yet they still went and investigated it, and they still set perjury traps for people like General Flynn, and they still sent FBI agents out there to try to arrest people and to indict people around Donald Trump, knowing the entire basis was a lie created by the Clinton campaign. How are they getting away with this still to this day?
And this is one of the reasons, backing up a little bit, that I, after talking with President Trump this summer, and we weren't getting an update on the Durham investigation, back in at the 1st of August, I led a letter and got 44 Republican senators on this letter to General Attorney General Merrick Garland, asking for a status check on the Durham investigation and asking that the results of the investigation be made public. Well, Attorney General Garland has not responded to that letter with a written response, but what we did do was be able to say, hey, look, there's 44 of us, and we are watching, and we want to get an update on what is happening with the Durham investigation. That sent a message, and of course, since then, you have had Durham go to the grand jury and get this indictment, and now we're beginning to see what happened. But Ben, we weren't going to let this go. And for the president, I was not going to let this go. He deserves an answer. The American people deserve an answer. And I wanted to be certain that we get to the bottom of this and that you didn't let this special counsel's time and funding expire and not begin to expose it. But you're exactly right. They have not covered this. Now, back in the summer, they did not cover that 44 senators had sent this letter and were requesting this update on behalf of President Donald Trump.
And, you look at Senator, you look at this. This is, and I don't even think this is an opinion anymore. I think it's just a fact. This is way beyond the level of what we saw with conspiracy with Watergate, for example. I believe truly that today, in the front page of every newspaper in America, there should be four or five stories. Number one, what did Hillary Clinton know? When did she know it? Why did she not inform the FBI that they were trying to overthrow the will of the people? Why is it that the FBI director, James Comey, allowed for his FBI to weaponize something based on lies that they knew were lies? Why was it that they were trying to put people in jail over this? Not only that, the media knew. Right. CNN actually hired the people from the FBI, from the DOJ, from the CIA that knew that this was all a lie to then commentate on the lie that was about overthrowing the outcome of an election. The number of stories that should be written, and none of them are being written. Is anyone going to be held accountable for any of this?
Certainly, we intend for people to be held accountable for this. This is why we're continuing to go after Attorney General Merrick Garland to be certain that we get this information out in the public so that people know. You know, if we hadn't been pushing this, Ben, they may never have had the information go to the grand jury. But what you have is the FBI and people at the FBI that were complicit in this. Now, they're supposed to be the best law enforcement agency on the face of the earth. And look at what they did here. Look at the number of missteps that are coming forward that the FBI took, not only in Russia collusion, but you've got other things that we're covering where they have not done their job. Last week, we had the Larry Nassar trial. We had the female gymnast in front of us and the FBI and the way they fumbled that. And today, the Wall Street Journal has an editorial in about this. The federal government is to be impartial, and it is to be equal treatment, equal justice. But these bureaucracies here in Washington, D.C., have become so bloated and so incestuous that now they're partisan. Look at what they did in this election. Look at how they conducted themselves. Look at how they fought against President Donald Trump. This is why I fight every single day for transparency, for equal treatment, for the government to do their job to protect the people, not to pick winners and losers, not to be partisan, but to fulfill their constitutional duty.
Let's talk about the FISA court warrants for just a second, because my next question is, are there any protections now or stopgaps to make sure that you can't spy on anyone's campaign? It could be your campaign for Senate. It could be a governor's campaign. It could be a state campaign. It could be the presidential campaign again. The fact that we had FISA court warrants that were approved under the Obama administration on information that they had confirmed was a lie, fabricated, created, and written by the Clinton campaign, and yet they still were able to do this. Is there any protection now to say, or any stopgaps now to say, okay, you're never going to be able to do this again, or can they go and do this all over again if they want to?
We certainly hope that there are stopgaps that are in place. Having to present that evidence to the FISA court is something that, you know, certainly is important to do. And tightening up that process, which is something that was done last Congress, that is in place. But there again, you know, Ben, when you've got people that are so partisan and they are corrupt, and you look at some of these players, James Comey at the top, that felt like they were above the law and there was a separate system of rules that applied to them, and therefore they could move forward and do what they were going to do. It is character flaws and rotten character to the core.
I want to switch gears quickly to the border because I think it's important, and we've got about 2 minutes left with you. But what we're witnessing at the border right now is a humanitarian crisis. It's a COVID crisis. And yesterday, what we saw in the headlines was we're going to investigate the Border Patrol agents who are on horseback, who are trying to stop Haitians from coming to the country. Of course, they claim that all these people are good people. And then we find out hours later that a bunch of them got on a bus, massive fight broke out. And then they actually attacked and assaulted Border Patrol agents. They then had to send a Biden administration, and I say this, you know, almost just rolling my eyes, but they actually sent caged buses to then put the Haitians in. Where's AOC crying at these buses, right? We put adults in cages, is my point. And this is the story that comes out of this. And then we find out that they're just releasing Haitians now into the general public with a, quote, court date to appear.
Yes, and Ben, I will tell you this. From women in Tennessee, security moms, we are hearing so much concern about this. They are sending migrants, whether they're from the southern border or they're Afghanistan refugees that were not properly vetted, that are not a part of the SIV process. They're just being sent to states and communities. This is done without information being sent to local and state officials. So many women have contacted me. They're concerned about the outbreak of measles that we have seen. They're concerned about COVID. They're concerned about other diseases that are coming in. They're reading some of these blog posts that Border Patrol families are posting and the concerns that they are expressing. They're hearing from people that live in Del Rio, Texas, and what they are seeing on the ground. And people are saying, we have to put a stop to this, and I completely agree.
We've got to, and I couldn't agree with you more. Don't forget, tell your family and your friends about this podcast. Share this podcast on social media. You'll see that little green arrow, that little share button. You can share it right now and share this with your family and your friends. Part four will be up tomorrow. So, again, subscribe to the podcast. It's free to subscribe. Listen each and every day, and we'll expose even more of the Durham Report tomorrow.